the last few weeks, the last couple months, whatever I've been sharing with you, a little bit about me on Sunday mornings as we get to know each other. That way you can get to know me a little bit. And if you cannot tell by just simply looking at me, I love to eat. I don't just like it, I love it. I love it. Unfortunately, I love it. My parents trained me well to eat all of the food on my plate, and it's even disrespectful to not get seconds, and then you have to eat all that, and heaven forbid the kids would leave some on their plate. You should probably eat that. It's an ongoing struggle, but the point is I love food. And let me be honest, ministry is a terrible role to be in when you really love food, because a lot of you are fantastic cooks and amazing bakers. And every time I come in, someone is saying, would you like another scone, Pastor? Do you want a cookie, Pastor? This has cream cheese in it, Pastor. I love cream cheese. I love all that stuff. And I have to say no, but then you keep at it. And finally, I say yes. And so really, it's your fault, isn't it, that I love all kinds of food. I especially love spicy food. I love barbecue, slow-smoked meat. We'll have to introduce you guys to that come warm weather. You northerners don't know what that barbecue is. It's not a grill. It's a type of food. Anyway, love barbecue. I love stir-fry. I love Asian. I love curry especially. I love that those flavors. Just, well, really, there's not a whole lot that I don't like. I don't like fruit that much. Yeah, not a good combination. I'm just being honest with you guys. Anyway, the point is I really like to eat. And my hike on the Appalachian Trail, I was able to thru-hike the trail in 2017. That absolutely killed my whole eating, like, healthy habits, because on the trail, you burn 5,000 or 6,000 calories a day. You can eat anything you want and all that you want. And I still lost 40 pounds from Georgia all the way up to Maine. 40 pounds. I'm talking a half a dozen donuts every town, pints and pints of ice cream, a half gallon at one time, chocolate milk. It's called the half gallon challenge. You have to do it halfway on the trail. Anyway, the point is, it ruined me since then. Now I think I have to eat until I'm stuffed and eat all the food that I want. And it's just an ongoing, like, mental battle because of how you can eat on the trail. But one of the things that I've noticed is if I don't eat, heaven forbid I happen to miss a meal or be delayed a little while in eating, I get, like, kind of shaky. I don't feel very well. I even get kind of weak feeling. It's not a good situation if I don't eat weak and just kind of feeling terrible. So I need to eat regularly, and it just helps me feel strong and active and energetic, just like you know me to be. And so this week, if you're just joining us today, we're so glad that you're here, but I am in the middle of a sermon series called Alone, and it's based on the television show from the History Channel called Alone. And my thought was that Satan, our enemy, the devil, he likes to attack us and make us feel often like we are alone. Born-again believers, the body of Christ, he likes to get into our minds and help erode any confidence that we have and trick us and fool us into thinking we're alone. And as he is successful in doing that in our lives, then we feel like God is farther and farther away. We feel like our church family doesn't love us. And just, he can lead us anywhere he wants once he convinces us that we're alone. And so I'm in the middle of this sermon series to help show you, as well as myself, that we are never alone. That we have a God that is available at all times. He is everywhere and he is always with us. Today is the third week in this series. First week was the tent of meeting, that God is available to meet with anywhere, anytime. The second week was we have a God that will never leave us or forsake us. And he has charged us and challenged us to be strong and courageous in the midst of problems and difficulties. So that's kind of where we're at here today. Now, today's message is about connecting with God. It's about knowing God, how it is that we can come to know the one true living God of the universe. But today's sermon is not normal. It's going to be very, very, not normal. And so today's sermon is called a topical sermon instead of an expositional sermon. Generally, I pick a passage and I expound that passage and then help illustrate it and then apply it, most importantly, apply it to our lives today. This one, however, is going to be kind of all over the Bible, different verses here and there. This is not my normal method. However, it's fine. It's okay. I'm using God's word, and I'll be relating it to our lives again. But know, if you're visiting with us, this is not my standard method of preaching. So let me open us up in prayer, and we'll get into the body of today's message. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. First of all, Lord, just glad to be here. Glad that we're seeing signs of life and spring outside. We're seeing the sun for so many days in a row. We're thankful for this beautiful sanctuary, this house of worship where we can gather together and hear your word and sing praises unto you because you are so worthy. And Father, I ask that you will take your word and you will preach it and boldly and clearly. I ask you'll open up our hearts and our minds to better understand who you are and what you've done for us, and then how it is that we can be of service to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, I said we're going to be kind of all over the Bible, so maybe today you can sit back and relax if you like to take notes. I'll mention each of the scripture references, but there's not going to be any up on the screen. Just too many different places to go. But the first place we're going to jump in is Matthew chapter 4. We'll be in the first four verses if you do want to try to follow along. But after that, I'm just going to quote most of the different verses. But here, when we jump in the book of Matthew, Jesus has just begun his public ministry. In fact, he has just been baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. And immediately upon his baptism, he was filled with the Holy Spirit and then led out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. And Jesus fasted during that time frame. And as you'll read here in just a moment, a lot was going on during that time, especially how the tempter, the devil, our adversary, was then after the Son of God, Jesus himself, out there in the wilderness. So I'll read again Matthew 4, verses 1 through, actually I'm going to stop at 3 for a moment. And I read from the CSB, it stands for Kurt Special Bible. I like that CSB Bible, especially when they name it after me, like I have to use that. It actually is Christian Standard Bible if you're trying to find it. I like the YouVersion app. It's very useful for these sorts of things. Anyway, the CSB reads, it says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness for to be tempted by the devil. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Then the tempter approached him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.'" Interesting that Jesus went 40 days and 40 nights alone in the wilderness to be tempted. Jesus, we know, was God himself in the flesh. God draped in a fleshly body, and he went out to be tempted. He wanted to relate to us, and he wanted to show us that we can overcome any of the temptations of the devil. And he is just very sympathetic in that way. And it says that he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights without any food. He was weak. He was alone. He was tired and he was hungry. And the devil approaches him and says that if you're really the Son of God, make these stones just turn into bread and you can eat that bread and all your suffering can simply be over. And look at how Jesus responds. It says he answered, "It is written, 'Man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Jesus rebuked the devil with scripture. And so Jesus says that man can eat food and live on food, but that isn't enough for man to be satiated, to be satisfied, that you and I, we need more than simply bread in our diet. We need to eat, to feast on the Word of God, all of God's Word. How is it that we can feast on the Word of God and know the Word of God? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, one of the key verses in the Awana program, which is having the Grand Prix race this coming Wednesday, one of the key verses is this 2 Timothy 3:16. It's one of my favorite verses, and it says the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy and to us says that all Scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful for teaching and rebuking and training and correcting in righteousness. And then it goes on and it says, so that the man and woman, the child of God, can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. But the passage in 2 Timothy tells us that all Scripture is, I like that when it says, God-breathed out by the very, very breath of God. And that's huge for us to know, that it is God's very breath that inspired all the Scripture. In its simplest form, the Holy Spirit filled the mind and the heart of human authors. And they wrote down what God had laid on their heart and inspired in their minds, and they wrote it out for then you and I to be able to read now, thousands of years later. God inspired human authors to write it down. All Scripture was inspired or breathed by God. And so you may be here wondering, well, what is the Bible? Well, there's so much to talk about. I'm sure one of these days, sometime soon, we'll get into even more detail about what the Bible actually is. But let me just set the stage real briefly for what is the Bible. The Bible is a library of books. In fact, 66 books contained from the very beginning in the book of Genesis to the final book of Revelation. 66 books in all, written by over 40 different authors. We're not sure the authorship of a couple of the books, so we're not sure how many authors, but at least 40, as many as 44 suspected authors of the Scriptures. 66 books, 40 authors written over nearly 1,500-year time frame. 1,500 years, over 40 authors, 66 books with exactly the same message. Absolutely cohesive from beginning to end, telling the exact same thing, the same story of God, who He is, His redemption for His creation throughout all of history and the final glory that is to come. God's Word is absolutely amazing. Perfect, inerrant, holy, inspired, absolutely necessary for our life. Bread is not enough. How is it that we can know our God? He has spoken to you and I through His Word. How is it to know Him? We have to read His Word. The Bible has been the number one best-selling book since its inception. It's the best biography. It's actually an autobiography by the greatest author that ever lived, God Himself. The Bible is the best-selling book ever, and it's interesting. Satan has been trying to raise up humans to discredit the Bible, and yet 2,000 years, they're still unsuccessful, and God's Word is changing lives daily all over the world. Many people in this world are extremely smart, very well educated, highly intelligent, and yet intimidated by the Bible. I know I used to be in that camp. Teresa, in her wisdom, bought me a Bible as I began to ask questions and want to know more about God and this whole Jesus thing. I had limited vision, so she bought me a large print study Bible. And I felt like I needed a wheelbarrow to carry that thing around. I did need a wheelbarrow to carry the thing, right? Huge Bible. It was intimidating. 66 books. How could anybody ever know and understand God's Word? I felt like, at the time, it was impossible. And you know what I started to do? Was do our daily bread. We've got them on a table right outside these doors, right there. You can pick up your own copy. I started doing our daily bread every day. Every day I would read that passage of Scripture. And after a few weeks, I started reading the Scripture before and the Scripture after the one that was actually in the daily devotion. Then I started reading the entire chapter. And then I read the chapter before, the whole chapter, and the chapter after. Pretty soon I would just read that whole book of the Bible, especially if it was a short one. And you know what? 6 months, absolutely amazing the difference it made. I began to understand the Old Testament and the New Testament and the authors, and I began stuff in Sunday school and on Sunday morning worship made more sense. It just made a huge difference because I spent 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes in God's Word each day. 6 months, it was absolutely amazing what happened. Suddenly, the Bible got smaller and smaller, and I could understand more and more, and the Spirit began to work in my life, and God revealed himself to me, and then look out, he called me into ministry, and here I am today. So be careful what you read. But it boggles my mind sometimes when people spiritually are weak and dizzy and lack energy, and yet they fail to consume God's word, and then they just walk around saying, well, I don't really care about church, and I don't really care about God, and it doesn't make much sense, and yet they go on starving themselves from the Spirit of God and how God has spoken to us. We have to feast on the Word of God. You and I living in America, we are so richly blessed to have so much of God's Word available to us. Other countries, it's illegal, and people will literally risk their lives to get a copy of God's Word. We have them all around us, available on every device, free of charge, as many Bibles as we could ever want. And sometimes we're guilty of ignoring it. We know far more about friends on Facebook that we've never even met than we do about the God of the universe. Starving ourselves spiritually and then blaming God that we're weak and shaky and just don't feel very good spiritually. If we want to know God, the God that's available to all of us, he has spoken to us directly through his word. God is a God that has created us to know him, to have a relationship with him, and he wants it right through his word, beginning with his word. Psalm 119, 105 is one of my favorite verses. It says, "For your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's word is not only the way to get to know our Creator, but it's also the way to go about living our lives. It's contained within the Scriptures, a light to our feet, a light unto our path. The Bible is the history of His story throughout the ages. God is a God that we can know through His word, and He's also a God that we can connect with through prayer. God is the author, the primary author and the subject of Scripture. In best-selling books, the authors travel the country and they set up in bookstores and public places, malls and things like that to sign books and sell their books. And people, fans of the author, will gather and wait in line sometimes for hours for a chance to have their book signed by this famous author and then get to meet the author and talk with the author for just a moment. And you and I have the privilege, have the honor of meeting the author of Scripture, the author of life itself, and connecting with that author, the best-selling author of all time, through our prayer, meeting and talking with God, because he's created us to know him, to meet with him, to communicate with him, and to connect with him through prayer. Remember the first week as Moses, first week in this series, as Moses set up that tent of meeting, Moses, as well as any of God's people, could go to the tent and meet with God there face to face. Remember, not seeing God, however, visiting intimately like a friend. God is waiting for you and I to connect with him, to come to him in prayer, having feasted on his word and then just wanting to know God even better. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing. In fact, not only are we encouraged to pray, we are commanded to pray perpetually, to not stop praying. And that might be intimidating. How do we go about praying without ceasing? Well, let me put your fears to rest. What he means by that is having an attitude of awareness to hear God in our daily lives throughout the day, in all areas, through music that comes on the radio, through conversations with people at work, in the grocery store, even here at church. Praying without ceasing means having an attitude of eagerness to know God, to listen to his voice. It doesn't mean that we have to simply live our lives on our knees with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. That's not what Paul meant. He means to seek God in everything, to want to hear his voice and communicate with him. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture dealing with prayer is 2 Chronicles 7:14 and then 15 immediately following. 2 Chronicles 7:14, very famous verse. The scripture says that if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and bring healing to their land. And then he goes on and he says that my eyes will be open and my ears will be attentive to prayer made in this place as Solomon was dedicating the temple. This was God's just word back to his people. He was telling them back then and you and I today that if we come to God with the right heart and the right attitude, that he is waiting to move mountains if we simply ask. If we humble ourselves and seek not his hands doing things, but his face, to get to know him more intimately. If we will humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways, giving our lives fully and completely over to him, then he is waiting to hear from us and to answer from heaven and move mountains and forgive our sins and bring healing to our lands. What a descriptive passage telling us how it is that God, the God that authored Scripture and is waiting to connect with us through prayer, how it is that he wants us to approach him. I mean, Jesus spelled it out in the Sermon on the Mount, to pray with respect and awe in that Lord's Prayer. It's just a model for us to come before the throne of God, to seek him, to seek his face, to connect with him after feasting on his word. God has revealed himself through Scripture. He continues to reveal himself to you and I. He is in the business of changing lives through the Spirit, through his Word. He seeks us out, and he promises that if we will seek him out, that he will be found. God is omnipresent. He is always everywhere. We can't understand that. We can't fathom it. All we can do is own it, to allow it to be in our lives. Know that you and I are never, ever alone. God is always with us. He speaks to us through his word, and he's waiting to speak to us through our prayer time. I love James when he wrote that the fervent and effective prayers of a righteous man or woman avails much. God, the creator of heaven and earth, is waiting for you to just pour your heart out, to come before him, and then watch as he brings healing to not only your life, but to our land and all around. This world that we live in, Ely, and in the surrounding areas to the ends of the earth, is full of darkness and full of pain. And they're waiting to see the light of the Lord coming through you and I together as we take the good news of Jesus all over, having been filled with the Spirit through our personal relationship with Jesus, having feasted on the Word of God, and filled up our spiritual tanks by connecting with the Father through our prayer time. God is always available, and he is just waiting for you and I. We're never, ever alone. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word and for the ability to know you through your Word and then connect with you through our prayer time. Father, we praise and worship you that you are that type of God. And I pray for each and every man and woman, child that is here with us today, and those that are listening and joining us online now and even in the future, that your Spirit would lead us to a deeper relationship with you, that you would prompt us to spend more time in your Word than watching television or any of our social media or whatever the distractions that there are in life. I pray that we would connect with you through prayer, that we would never be intimidated by any of these things, and that through that, boy, people would see our changed lives and your glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.